chapter 26. Verses 26 to 29 is what we'll be reading in order to help us get the context, yet we'll be focusing primarily just on verse 29. And this is when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Excuse me. So we'll be looking at Matthew 26, verses 26 to 29. Let's turn our attention now to the reading of God's Word. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let's pray. Our God in heaven, this is your word, and we thank you for it, that we can know you. Lord, as we listen to your word now, we ask that you would be pleased to bless it, that your spirit would apply your word to our hearts and meet our individual needs in this time. Lord, be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What events in your life give you joy? Maybe it's your birthday. Maybe it's your wedding anniversary. Maybe it's the last day of school. You all have events in your lives that you celebrate. When it's your birthday, there's normally a party, right? This is because we like to celebrate birthdays. They remind you of God's goodness to you and that God has given you another year of life. And they sometimes mean you get to go out to that special restaurant that you don't get to go any other time of the year. And yes, sometimes they even mean that you get birthday presents. Birthdays are a time of joy, and so we celebrate them every chance we can. In addition to birthdays and anniversaries and last days of school or whatever gives us joy, every first Sunday of the month, you have a reason to celebrate. Our passage this morning tells us that there is something magnificent happening when you partake of the Lord's Supper, something that far exceeds a birthday. And yet, how often do we truly celebrate the Lord's Supper and do so with joy? If you're anything like me, joy is often lacking in the Lord's Supper, and celebration is often lacking in the Lord's Supper. And yet, the Lord's Supper is an occasion for joy and celebration. And Jesus, thankfully, in our passage, reminds us of this, that the Lord's Supper is an occasion for joy and celebration. And so as we look at this text this afternoon, this is the main point to see. Celebrate the Lord's Supper with joy, knowing that you are experiencing a foretaste of heaven. Celebrate the Lord's Supper with joy, knowing that you are experiencing a foretaste of heaven. First thing to see is that the Lord's Supper points you to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's look at verse 29. This is really the verse we're going to be looking at exclusively this afternoon. "I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now, there's an aspect of the Lord's Supper in which we are looking back. We're looking back to the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And yet there's also an aspect of the Lord's Supper where we're looking forward. We're looking to the future, to what lies ahead in the lives of believers in heaven. And so, Jesus himself links the Lord's Supper to something in the future. And he does this when he says, "I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you again in my Father's kingdom." And Jesus isn't the only one who connects the Lord's Supper with something in the future. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, when the Apostle Paul deals with the Lord's Supper, this is what Paul says. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord's Supper is to continue until Jesus Christ returns for the second time. And so Paul is pointing out, as well as Jesus in our text, that the Lord's Supper has a future orientation to it. It's not all looking back. There is something about it in which we are looking ahead. Well, according to what Jesus says in Matthew 26:29, he will not drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when he drinks it new with you in his Father's kingdom. And what this means is that there will be a day in the future when Jesus will drink again of the fruit of the vine, and it will be in his Father's kingdom. So Jesus has now connected the Lord's Supper to the Father's kingdom. And so this brings us to the question, what is the Father's kingdom? We're not going to get into too much detail in this area this afternoon, but the kingdom of God is like some other aspects of the Christian life. The kingdom of God is already here, and yet it's not yet here. And this is confusing to us, but this isn't confusing to God. And so, in other words, the kingdom of God is in existence right now. And yet, the kingdom of God is not in its fullness yet, though there is a day when the kingdom of God will be fulfilled completely. And this will be at the day that Jesus Christ returns to earth for the second time. So, if Jesus promised to drink again of the fruit of the vine in his Father's kingdom, when will that be? If the kingdom is in existence today, has Jesus already fulfilled this promise? Or will he fulfill it sometime in the future? Well, this is where it gets tricky, because this is where the commentators tend to disagree. Some people would say that Jesus has already fulfilled this promise. Acts chapter 10 tells us that after Jesus was raised from the dead, but before he ascended to heaven, he actually ate and drank of the fruit of the vine with his disciples in his Father's kingdom. And so some people would say that this is what Jesus was talking about in verse 29. Although others do not believe that the incident in Acts chapter 10 is the fulfillment of what Jesus is saying, but that when Jesus did eat and drink with his disciples after his resurrection, he did that for the sole purpose of proving his humanity to the disciples, that he wanted to prove to them that he did not just rise from the dead spiritually, but physically as well. Well, whether you believe Jesus drinking with his disciples after his resurrection was a partial fulfillment of our text or not, I think it's clear from Scripture that the ultimate fulfillment of what Jesus is saying in our text has not yet happened. And so with all this being said, in verse 29, Jesus is ultimately referring to heaven as being the Father's kingdom, and particularly after his second coming, when all believers of all time will be in heaven. And so this is when he will drink again of the fruit of the vine in a new way with his people. So in other words, the fulfillment of what Jesus says at the institution of the Lord's Supper is found in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And this is what we read earlier from Revelation 19. The Lord's Supper, in which we'll partake of today, is a type of the marriage supper that is to come. And the marriage supper is when all believers of all time, after the second coming of Christ, will be together in heaven. And so the marriage supper is the fulfillment of the Lord's Supper. So by participating in the Lord's Supper, we are being pointed forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So by celebrating the Lord's Supper, you are actually experiencing a foretaste of heaven, if this is true. Now, there are some similarities between the Lord's Supper and the marriage supper, and we'll look at two of these. For instance, the marriage supper of the Lamb will be enjoyed by God's people only. The marriage supper will happen in heaven. It will only be for those people who are in heaven then. And the Lord's Supper is also for believers only. The only difference is those who partake of the Lord's Supper do so by a profession of faith. And so it is possible that an unbeliever could participate in the Lord's Supper, although that is not the design of the Lord's Supper, and that is not the intent of the Lord's Supper. It is designed for believers in Christ only. And so if you're here this afternoon, then the Lord's Supper is not for you, I'm sorry to say. And even worse, the marriage supper is not for you either, because the Lord's Supper is for believers only. And so if you have not done so, if you're here today, no matter how old you are or how young you are, you must be in Christ to participate in the Lord's Supper. And if you don't know what that means, then please talk to someone today. And the other similarity between the Lord's Supper and the marriage supper is that in both of them, there is communion with Christ. In the Lord's Supper, Christ is spiritually present with us. He's spiritually present, yet really present with us. The Westminster Confession of Faith says, "The body and blood of Christ being then not corporally or carnally in, with, or under the bread and wine, yet as really, but spiritually present to the faith of believers in that ordinance." And so Christ is spiritually present in the Lord's Supper, yet in the marriage supper of the Lamb, Christ is physically present. Christ will be physically present with his people. And so while today when we participate in the Lord's Supper, we can enjoy communion with Christ spiritually, there will be a day at the marriage supper when we will enjoy communion with Christ physically. And so the marriage supper is going to be so much better than the Lord's Supper will be today. And yet each time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we get a foretaste of the marriage supper. We get a foretaste of heaven. Many of you here are married, and so you've undergone all of the preparations that need to be made for a wedding ceremony and a wedding reception. And one thing you probably did is tested samples of wedding cake to decide which cake you want to have at that special day. And the best part, though, is that once you've tasted the many samples and decided which cake you want to have, you then began to look forward to that actual wedding day. You begin to get excited to eat that cake one more time. And so when you sampled the cake at the bakery, you were getting a foretaste of the cake that you were going to eat at your wedding reception. Now imagine that between choosing the cake at the bakery and the actual wedding day, that you were able to go back each month and just have one more bite of the cake. Just one more bite of the cake. How much more excited would you be for that wedding day to actually eat all the cake? You would be very excited. And this is what's happening in the Lord's Supper. You are, in a way, going back to the bakery every month to get another bite of that cake. You are getting a foretaste of the feast to come at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so by participating in the Lord's Supper today, and Lord willing, many more times, you're preparing yourself for the big event. Do you believe this? If you do, then celebrate the Lord's Supper with joy, knowing that you are experiencing a foretaste of heaven. If it's true that we do experience a foretaste of heaven in the Lord's Supper, then what should our attitude be? Do we view this as just one more ritual that we need to go through? No, I'd say that we need to celebrate it with joy. This is why we say celebrate the Lord's Supper and not just do the Lord's Supper or participate in the Lord's Supper. It's a celebration. And so when we participate in it, we are to be celebrating it and celebrating it with joy, just as we would celebrate a birthday or anything else. The first Lord's Day of every month, this is when you do it. This is why you're here this very afternoon. And when you partake in the Lord's Supper this afternoon, I encourage you to do something. I encourage you to look around at the other people who are participating and celebrating with you. And when you do so, you will see other believers who have professed faith in Christ. And they too will be enjoying the spiritual presence of Christ with you. And this too is a foretaste of what the marriage supper will be like. And children, as you watch others this afternoon participate in the Lord's Supper and see how they experience a foretaste of heaven, you should want to celebrate the Lord's Supper as well. But as baptized members of the church, you are members because of your parents' faith, not your own faith. And in order to be a communicant member, one who is able to participate in the Lord's Supper, then you need to profess faith in Christ publicly before the elders of this church. And so if you're a baptized member this afternoon and you desire to participate in the Lord's Supper and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then what you need to do is profess that faith publicly to the elders. And so if that's a desire of yours, please talk to your parents about how you can go about doing that so that someday you can participate with us. Brothers and sisters, after Jesus returns someday in the future, and all of God's people are gathered together in heaven, you will be seated at a table with everyone. All true believers of all time, from all places in the world, will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it's called the marriage supper because Scripture tells us that the church is the bride of Christ. And when you will be at the marriage supper, you will be able to look across the table and see the rest of the bride of Christ. And imagine this. You're sitting at a table and you look across the table and who do you see? Maybe Moses, John Calvin, David, Paul, Scott Decker, Peter, Jonah, your grandmother, Jonathan Edwards, Rahab, Billy Graham, Martin Luther, Bob McCracken, Gideon, John Piper, and so on. As long as they were a true believer in Christ, they will be there with you. Now, can you imagine how awesome that will be? And yet, that's not even the best part. Because at the head of that table will be the groom of the wedding. We are the bride, but Jesus Christ is the groom. And Jesus Christ will not only be spiritually present with all of you, he will be physically present. You will see him in all his glory with your own eyes. You don't know what he looks like today, nor should you imagine what he looks like today, but there will be a day when you will see Jesus Christ physically with eyes. Now, can you even imagine that? Can you even imagine how awesome that will be? 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is." Can you imagine this? I can't. Well, I guess I can because in thinking about this, I tend to imagine this scenario. Me sitting at the table, all of you with me, Lord willing, and all these other great saints. And then looking at the head of the table and seeing Jesus Christ and then hearing him say something like this. "Welcome, my people." Just imagine that. "Welcome, my people. This is your heavenly home. I condescended. I became just like you. I gave my life up on the cross. I raised myself from the dead, and I did that to give you this. Welcome." How awesome will that be? Pretty awesome. And yet we get a foretaste of that every single month in the Lord's Supper. And how dare we ever do this without having joy in our hearts? This is not another ritual. This is a celebration, brothers and sisters. And so remind yourselves of what you are getting a foretaste of when celebrating the Lord's Supper. And may the certainty of what will happen in the future give you joy. Celebrate the Lord's Supper with joy, knowing that you are experiencing a foretaste of heaven. And do so this afternoon. Let's pray.